help us to commence our service this evening with hymn 671.
Hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, margined by a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, or the margin says, every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is to know, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray to Almighty God. O thou who art the I am, that I am, in the eternity of thy own dwelling place, we bow before thee, Lord, as rebel creatures. Thou art our God and Creator, and we are rebellious by nature and sinners in thy sight. And we have to confess and own to thee we're ruined, completely ruined and lost in the fall of man, the Adamic fall. But oh, we bless thee for a precious voice of sovereign grace, as the poet says. There's a voice of sovereign grace. Yes, how you despairing sinners come. Oh, we have the gospel before us. Thy gospel. God's gospel. Christ's gospel. Oh, the gospel sent to us in love from our most holy offended Father. What love is with thee, Almighty God. Yea, not just what love is with thee, but oh, thou art love. When all the full glory of the dimension of it. Oh, we pray that we may know a little something of that love, thy love, to sinners poor and sinners vile. We've read of it in thy word tonight, Lord. And pray, Lord, that indeed thy word may do us good. Another opportunity to read the word of God. How many times we've read it meant nothing to us. Oh, just gone through it. Oh, our son. But that's what we're like, Lord. But we pray earnestly that blessed Spirit of truth will make the word of God a living word. And as we read it tonight, may a few things remain with us. A few things come back to us from thy precious word. We pray. How we need thee, Lord Jesus. Like the eternal Son of God, we need thee. We need thee to be with us in our lives. We need thee because we're such sinners and we need such saving. We're so frail, Lord. We're mortals, creatures of a day. Lord, the poet says concerning us in our lives, our lives are ever on the wing. Our days, how swift they are. Swift as Indian arrow flies, or like a shooting star. We've seen a few shooting stars in our lives. Just a flash breaking up, as it were, across the sky. Just seeing a little bit of a trail behind it. Gone. Oh, that's what our life is like, Lord. Yes, a vapour. We're here, Lord, for a little season, and gone. Gone forever, no more to be remembered. But oh, we pray, we may be blessed, sanctified, or made meet for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that we may be washed in thy precious blood, Lord Jesus, that our sins, which are so many, may truly be taken away. Oh, to be clothed, or we're naked. Oh, Lord, and we were naked in creation, no shame, but sin, shame. Ah, we're naked before thee as we are. We read all things are naked, and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Ah, we feel ashamed. Oh, we want a robe of righteousness, a covering, washing, Lord, for all our filth, all our woe, all our shame and guilt, ah, from everything. Ah, we like how the Pope puts it very simply, but ah, that's what we need, Lord. It's true, in desire of thy people. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood. And take my sins away. Lord, the refrain indeed was asking to be prepared. Oh, my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. We're going to that great day, Lord. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. Oh, do good. Unto Jerusalem this night. Oh, thou art good, do good unto Jerusalem this night. We pray, bless thy waiting people, Lord. All those who have come in with a desire, a burden, an exercise, a worry. Those who have come in trembling. All those who have come with fears and heavy weights. And oh, those who feel something of the shame of their guilt, feel their defilement within. Ah, may there be, Lord, a gospel portion for them this night, something for their needy souls. Oh, we want reality. We really do. We're poor, sinful worms, need thy loving kindness to go before us, or thy tender mercies to surround us. My frail and mortal, we need thy, oh, the detail of thy help in our existence and providence, Lord. Oh, our breath is known to God. How many more times we shall breathe, known to thee, Lord. Solemn thought, hairs of a head are all numbered, all about us today and tomorrow, and seen all yesterday. Oh, how we need Christ, all to be heard. Oh, to know thee, to hear prayer, to send the Holy Spirit to us in that personal way, we may each be exercised to win Christ, to shelter, to be found in thee. Ah, how we need the Holy Ghost collectively in our assemblies. And here tonight, oh Lord, do what no man can do. To make the ministry a living ministry, a ministry of the Spirit, a ministry that's suitable. Oh, ministry indeed that life and salvation to poor, needy, frail, weak, trembling sinners who need feeding and confirming, who need to touch the hem of thy garment, want to touch in their soul from thee, who need some real help, or who long to hide, long to be assured that thou art with them, that they're God. Oh, how thy people need thee. We need thee so much, Lord, in every aspect. Oh, we need a complete salvation. We need that daily help in detail. Poor, frail creatures that we are, Lord. Amen. May love be loft in boat of all their prowess and all they can do, all their successes. Thy people need thy daily help, thy daily saving, thy daily keeping, thy daily mercy, thy daily provision for them. Hear prayer then to bless my dear people here, we pray. Please dwell among them. Please take them under the shadow of thy wings. Send to them a living ministry, a ministry of the Spirit. Oh, let thy work appear among them. Oh, touch many hearts. Oh, may many yet be converted in this place. Oh, that are careless and indifferent, a mere form and happy with it, hoping vaguely someday to be ready. Ah, or maybe more than a vague thought. May there be an urgent thought. Or with such we pray. Or their cry may be, mine's an urgent pressing case. Oh, do not turn away thy face. Oh, bless sinners, Lord. Feed the poor of the flock. Reveal thyself to one and another. Oh, may there be those who shall be sweetly enabled to lean heavily, all the weight of their soul, their body, their life, yes, their death, to lean heavily and keep bringing them and all their life and their matters and their pathway to thee, and to lean heavily upon thee with it all, casting all their care upon thee, waiting only upon God. The psalmist said, amused with his own heart, and it's written for us to muse with our own hearts. He said, my soul, mine precious soul, my never dying soul, my needy soul, my guilty soul, wait thou only upon God. Ah, he went on, from expectation is from thee. Oh, give us each a sacred God wrought expectation in our exercises, Lord, that we will find thee, because thou hast said so. Ah, that it will be well. Lord, because thou hast whispered little of thy love in our heart, Lord. Oh, how we need thee so much. Fresh feeding, fresh provender, when with the shovel and the fan we read. Ah, gospel crumbs, bread from heaven, living waters. Yes, Lord, the oil and the wine of the kingdom. So bless thy word, bless our dear friends, the office bearers, give them wisdom and grace and godly fear, understanding in all things. May they walk tenderly in thy fear. Help them to be tender and kind, yet firm, and cleave to the truth. Make them each very wise, strengthen them indeed, give them all that they need in their office, and may there be much prayer in this place, prayer one for another, prayer for the deacons, prayer for the church members, and church members praying one for another, and friends praying for themselves and for one and another. We always have to pray for ourselves, Lord. Oh, we have to. In fact, our case is the heaviest. It's the greatest matter with us. But still we love thy people, and would indeed weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. We pray then, and maybe that unity of spirit and bond of peace among the friends here. Think of the generations, Lord. We mustn't multiply prayer, but the generations, Lord. The dear little ones, the young friends, the youth, young men and young women. Yes. Lord, the various parents and grandparents, middle generation, yes, and the older generation. For years, Lord, we've been playing with the older generation, but we're there. I've hardly realised it. We're the older generation. Where's my time gone? Where's our time gone? Oh, we pray that we so sanctify us and instruct us, and indeed make us fruitful, even in our latter days. Oh, we look back over life's journey. What sort of fruit have we produced, Lord? It's a searching question, Lord. We can't admire it anyway. But oh, to live to Christ. Oh, to live to Christ. Many failings, not to be ashamed of. Ah, Lord, haven't been for grace, made shipwreck altogether. But grace has brought us safely thus far. We need that grace today. And oh, we plead that grace may bring us safely through and right to our end. We may be ready, Lord, to be wonderful, to be ready. A miracle. Greatest thing thou could do for us, Lord. Make us ready for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my springs are in thee, said the psalmist. And our help only comes from thee, as the psalmist said, my help cometh from the Lord. Please make us ready, the kingdom of God, and help us in the journey of life, all the details, Lord. We must thank you for thy mercies before we close, Lord. So many mercies. Countless as the sand, we have received daily from thee, Lord. What long-suffering mercies. What forgiving mercies. What relieving mercies. What supplying mercies. What tender mercies. May we each be able to know, Lord, that these mercies are part of thy everlasting mercy. That's what we pray for, Lord. Pray for our land and nation at this time of the pandemic, Lord. We thank for the relief from it, but now it's still there. Warnings from government, other lands also, Lord. We begin to relax. The virus multiplies. What a situation we're in, Lord. How long will it go on for? We don't know. The Lord knows. We believe it's part of the signs of the latter days. Lord, that punishing the inhabitants of the earth may be sanctified to us. Consider our unfruitfulness and unprofitableness. Oh, are we not being also punished? Do we not bear these things ourselves? Can't just wash our hands and say, well, nation's guilty, I'm guilty. Where's the fruit? Have I lived the glory of God as I should? Solemn, solemn thought, Lord. Ah, we have to confess much. Yea, it's a path of confession and supplication and thanksgiving. Yes, Lord. Thanks be unto God's unspeakable gift. We read, the apostle exclaimed it, but speaking of providence as well, and the gifts received from the Corinthian church. How exclaimed, oh, and so do we, when we feel the sweetness of it indeed, that we should always try and exclaim it, that we long to know it more, the sweetness of it more, but rather, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Do spare the guilty realm then and sanctify the pandemic, and could it please thee, Lord. In tender mercy, do restrain thy hand in these matters. Is it all in thy hand, Lord? It's not out of control from God. It's out of man's control, certainly. But it's under thy control. May we in mercy be preserved from it, Lord. We know those, dear godly, have been taken by it. It's affected their own family too in a severe way. Oh, how solemn and humbling these things are, Lord. How frail we are. Yet in mercy spare us. From it we pray, could it please thy kind majesty, we have to pray. All because with thy good will. Lord, we pray for another harvest also. Do sensible weather for another harvest, could it please thee. Thou faithful to the land in this. But now, Lord, we must turn to thy word. O do loose a stammerous tongue. O grant it thus saith the Lord. Open the scriptures, Lord. Grant the Holy Ghost. Lord, must have the Holy Ghost in preaching. There won't be any preaching at all. O grant that help. We so much need and help to friends in hearing. It's all of the Spirit in bringing the word and applying the word. That's what we need, Lord. Bless the precious word of life to our souls and pardon our many innumerable mighty sins. Just really thankful hearts and do us good tonight. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, Lord. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. We plead then anything, well, we may have omitted things, friends away, we pray for them and afflicted friends and many things, Lord. We can't remember everything, Lord, but please make up where we've failed in our asking. And, Lord, make up in giving, could it please thee. We plead thy precious name. Glorious all-prevailing name, we plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 745. When Jesus would his grace proclaim, he calls the simple, blind and lame to come and be his guest. Such simple folk the world despise, yet simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. Hymn 745.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, and to verse 37. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm aware that I have preached from this verse on a weeknight before, though I think it goes back over many years now. But it is upon my mind again. The apostle in this beautiful chapter, mind you, all the scriptures are beautiful, of course, but it is a particularly beautiful chapter that shows the justification of those who are in the Spirit, that are Christ's. Doesn't mean they're sinless and perfect in the flesh, of course. That cannot be until the other side of death, that is in glory. But nevertheless, instructs us to so walk in the Spirit, and he sets forth a relationship between Christ and his church, the bride and the bridegroom, that indeed if the Spirit is with us and he beareth witness with our spirit, you know, what a great mercy to be a needy soul feeling your vast need and yet to be favoured with a sweet degree. Now, I know this may vary from person to person. Some sweet degree of witness with the children of God. What a favour. We feel we come so short, but nevertheless, all the shortcomings of the flesh we can see in this beautiful chapter cannot separate. But oh, how we want the grace and the Spirit to be with us in his great grace, that we may be found bringing forth fruit. Well, I mustn't dwell too much on the chapter, must I, because time has gone rather long in prayer, I realised, in the end. But however, how he sweetly sets forth, we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what is yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do with patience wait for it. You see, you hope. You cannot see him face to face. The way of faith is with patience waiting for it. And he goes on very beautifully to indeed, declare that all things work together for good to them that love God. Speaks of the searching of the heart, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that searching of heart, you say, as he searches you, so you're exercised by the searching out in your soul. You're exercised by it. You have to pray. You have to weep. You have to confess. You have to seek him. You're searched out. We must have reality, mustn't we? We must be made ready for our dying day to go in and see God face to face. Tremendous matter. How fit we are. Rotten we are. Rotten to the core. Grace, the work of God in a man's heart. Fitting him and preparing him for such a day. We're brought right down in it, aren't we? And yet, he makes himself precious and real in your soul. Yes, he exalts himself in your own heart, and you long to exalt him. Now, I must hasten. He speaks of that foreknowledge, predestinating to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called he justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. The poor, trembling, seeking, humble believer, often tried, you know he will be glorified, but it's his work. And we go back to my first thoughts, he prepares us for our end, you see. He'll glorify you. We'll be weaned eventually from all here below. May do it for me, may it do for you, my dear friends, however I must hasten on. Then he goes on, indeed, to speak of the relationship here. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All you need for salvation, all you need for the body and time, but especially this great salvation, beautiful expression. Yes, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's a question. He will. Then he goes on, who shall add anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And so on. Then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? When we come into trouble, this is separation. You feel separated in your own soul. When you feel guilty, you're separated in your own soul. You have the feeling, a solemn knowledge and awareness. What an offence we are. But who shall separate us? My friends, not one of the sorrows of life, and even your own sinnership, you may be separated from communion for a while, and fellowship with him. You may feel clouds between your soul and God, but you'll never be separated. It's written here before us. It's a sweet thing, my friends, to from time to time to really enter into this, you see. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are conquerors. Well, first, I must hasten along. All these things. Then this precious truth. More than conquerors. And how can that be? Why, he tells us here sweetly, through him that loved us. Amazing grace. Love, an everlasting love. Try and briefly look into what love has done. What love has finished. What love will yet do. The finished work will appear. He's died for the ungodly at Calvary. But you see, this work will appear in your life, a finished work, and bring poor pilgrims safely home to God, because their redemption is accomplished. Their salvation is accomplished and finished. It's done already by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, Nathan, all these things, your daily troubles, friends, the conflicts, the temptations, the sinnership, the searchings out. All these things. Now, the reign of the Lord over you and I, who humbles us, to know what is in our hearts, whether we'd serve the Lord or no. Israel didn't do it as they should. And we find we're in the same pathway of teaching. We're humbled. You come in with the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. He really meant it, friends. He wasn't just trying to sound like a nice Christian, as it were. He really meant it. He was a wretched man in his own sight. We can't believe that, can we? How wretched we are compared to the Apostle Paul. No comparison is there. But, my friends, he wrote it. By inspiration of God, a wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And again, as he says of himself, that of whom I am chief. Written. I think I know I've mentioned this to here and enlarged on this before here. Whom I am chief. Oh, you see, how unprofitable, what a vain thing to compare sinnerships. Some are good at comparing sinnerships, but a child of God, he can't. He knows who the chief of sinners is. He knows it. He was by the light of God and the work of God in his heart. It's me, Lord, me. Oh, what a mercy. I feel that can be painful, I know, very painful. If you truly know who the chief of sinners is here tonight and who you meet with day by day, who it really is, it's painful. But it's safe because it brings a cry from your heart. Behold, I am vile. You may not be out robbing banks and doing all sorts of things that people do, but here on my heart the burden lies. Past offences pain my eyes. Former days, backslidings, your evil heart, your foolish, worldly, light nature, the idolatry of nature. Our heart was set its affection on anything but God. That's the very nature that I have. And you have it, my friends. Ah, but you're a conqueror. All these things. Well, our sinnership is our great trouble, isn't it? Really it is. We have many worries, many trials. But what's the root of those worries and trials? Sin. That's the very root, isn't it? Of all the sorrow you know and I know, the weepings, sin. In the Garden of Eden, it was always somebody else's sin. In grace, it's my sin. They didn't have grace, did they, when Jesus went to meet, the Lord met them rather in the garden and called them to him. Didn't have grace. Who says that? It was her. All she said, it was a devil. Ah, but grace brings it here. Father, I've sinned and come short of thy glory. And this is what you feel when you go shopping, go around your daily routine of business, when you have a telephone conversation, when somebody annoys you, when your eyes see things that bring out covetousness or evil thoughts, when you have an ear to hear something, and you want to hear a bit more about it because it's something that suits an itching ear, you see, human nature. When you feel angry with somebody, you want to give them a piece of your mind. Friends, what shameful creatures we are by nature. What a mercy to be kept there by grace. Yes, all these things and the fruit of sin, the things you fear, the things you dread. Oh, how Job said the thing that he feared had come upon him, poor man. Such tribulation came upon him. And God hidden away. Couldn't get near God. Clouds between. He'd feared that, hadn't he? And you come to places where you think, begin to think, ah, oh, Lord, oh, the things I fear have come upon me. Chastenings and corrections, hidings of his face, afflictions. We could name one or two things in nature, couldn't we? A happy marriage. What do we fear about a happy marriage? It's dissolution by death. Friends, it's a solemn thought. Well, you know, maybe children losing parents. Maybe in business you fear certain things and it comes. Sir Frank Gosling once said, you're travelling home in his business days, and he said to the Lord, Lord, when I get home, if that's happened, he said, I'm going to sink. I'm going to sink. He said, well, I got home, and there it was, it had happened. He said, I sank on those everlasting arms. Lord, never sink through them. And that these are among the all things work together for our good. The things you fear will destroy you and your make shipwreck of faith. But those very things, as you cry for mercy and cry for help and cry for his blessing, cry for his forgiveness, cry for restoration, his deliverances, his appearing, his mighty hand in this, his wonderful work in another way. You see, friends, it's these things that bring us to him, his feet. Nay, in all these troubles, yes, afflictions are very solemn, aren't they? The older we get, the more we begin to realise things. So we must have health and strength for many years, a great favour. Not all are favoured that way. Let us be thankful for people boasting their health and strength. We should never do that, friends. Lord, save us from it. We're fit and wonderfully made. It's a kind gift of God. But it won't last. It won't last. As you get older, you begin to realise certain things about the body, yes, it's a warning of dissolution, of coming down, deteriorating. Friends, how we need to be well prepared for that day. An affliction may come and the thing we fear may come upon us. I say this trembling, I'm so weak myself, so nervous myself. Family troubles. Surprises in the family. Frightening things maybe. Oh, my friends, troubles in the church of God. Oh, my friends, difficulties in providence in your life. Oh, things beyond your control affect your life. So many different things. Things you desire, perhaps, to attain, to aspire to, or to possess in God's kindness. You pray, and perhaps you may exercise in thinking, well, I believe, but enlarge me in prayer. And in the end, you find it hasn't come. Well, have us learned between our own enlargement and in anticipation and God's enlargement. I believe if it's God's enlargement in prayer, it comes right down to something that nature doesn't really want to submit to. If it may be in accordance with thy good will, Lord. Thy good will. I often think that's the last part of prayer we come to, really, an exercise in prayer. It should be the first, really. In the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, of course, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's not an easy prayer to pray when you're in trouble, you know. It's not when you need healing and sparing. That's not an easy prayer, is it? I don't find it so. But it's sweet sometimes to write down to his goodwill, trusting and believing. He knows what is best. He'll do the good thing. There's a day coming when we don't really want to come to it, do we, nature? Our last illness. We've no doubt may get many illnesses, and the Lord is so good. He is our cries for sparing, cries for mercy, cries for help. A good God, prayer in prayer, you proved it. There's a day coming when there's a call, come up higher. Come hither, my dear, beloved child. This is my call home. We do want to be prepared for that, don't we? And come to that day when we are ready. The apostle was ready to be offered. Of course, that was martyrdom with him. But we do need that. Same preparation, don't we? Oh, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must be work performed. It is all of grace. All these things. So many other, I must hasten on, Satan's temptations. What an enemy you have, believer. What an inveterate foe you have. So subtle, so sly, so clever, more powerful than you and I. Friends, being a spirit, a mystery we don't understand, but spirits don't have dimension. But they can fly instantly from one place to another. You and I can't do that. We're earthbound in a body. Our mind can wander and rove around, but the body can't. We're restricted in God's government over us, in our soul and body. Friends, these spirits, these lying spirits are abroad, everywhere. And Satan knows just what to do to defeat a child of God and bring him down. Temptations. And one thing he is determined to do, that is to that the believer should give up and make shipwreck. Either entice him into sin or so try his faith. Get at him so much to make him give up or turn back. He'll accuse you of your sins. The Spirit's conviction makes you weep with a brokenness. The arrows of Satan have a certain hardness with them, a despair with it. You see? Give up. Give up. God can't hear your prayers. God the Holy Ghost never says that. Makes you feel you don't deserve answers to prayers. You don't deserve it. And the conscience is tender in that matter. I don't deserve it, Lord, yet for thy name's sake. Here's the faith, for thy name's sake. But Satan, he never can hear your prayers. You're too wicked, too far gone. Well, I mustn't tarry on all these points. I want to come to Christ. All these things, friends, our natural constitutions, we're frail, we're mortal. Well, so many worries and troubles. But I want to come to this. All these things, his gracious, wise government, leading all his dear people in that narrow way, in the trying of their faith. The trying of their faith. Why do God's people come out of great tribulation? Why are all these things are they more than conquerors? What are all these things? Why? Why many we read that in the world ye shall have tribulation? Oh, it is through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so on. Why did Jacob have so much trouble? Was Abraham, why was he tried so long? Why was the apostle passed through so many afflictions and troubles as recorded in the Corinthians? Why is it? It's the wisdom of God that they should taste something of the grace of God in their afflictions and troubles to ponder and consider in their heart what their dear Redeemer must have passed through for them. Spotless, holy, lovely, innocent, pure, righteous, without any offence. Love, love itself in all its glorious dimension, the person of Christ. Yet look at his pathway. The man I've chosen acquainted with grief, he suffered. So the strong of faith will bring a suffering to us, a suffering in soul and circumstance. But it brings exercise. It keeps them from being lofty or light or easy in our faith. It preserves you from presumptuous sins. It brings down to our right place. Well, it's the publican's prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner, in this trial, in this sorrow. It's affliction. All these worries. Be merciful, Lord. Oh, you cry for his blessing and help. From our, we're brought to know our own lowest state. Who remembers in our lowest state. For his mercy endureth forever. And that's where we learn that enduring mercy. An everlasting mercy. A mercy forever. As he remembers in our lowest state, we taste the Lord is gracious in all these things. Faith must be troubled. We say, well, Jacob was troubled. He was such a sinner, wasn't he? Yes, I know he was. No question about it. So are we. And it may be said, well, the Lord brought his sins home to him when his children lied to him because he lied to his father. But look at the generations. Grandparents, parents, yourself, children, grandchildren, if you see great-grandchildren, favour if you do, and all these things. Sinners, all the time with the same brush. All sinners, but oh, what a mercy if we're saved by grace. We're humbled, you know, by whom we're fed and whom we're taught. So we're humbled in the wilderness. And therefore, you see, the apostle describes it. Yes, and all these things that come, the troubles. Now, all is under the control of the almighty friend of sinners, your dear Redeemer. Your sorrows are under divine control. A gracious guilt, a gracious knowledge of your sin and your just deserts are given to you by God to bring you to confess and to weep and to own with contrition the deeds we have done. The poet says, and take the remission God gives in his Son and it's grace to you as you're enabled to lay hold upon it. But we need the help, strength to do it, don't we? But you will be given the strength to lay hold upon Christ. If he's working in your heart again and again in trying your faith, I must hasten. I really must force myself on. Nay, in all these things, and he's named them, hasn't he? Just briefly, I must name them, but separate from the love of Christ, your tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able. Oh, what a gracious word that is. It's his word to poor, frail, troubled, tempted, trembling sinners. When things are uncertain with you, how will they end? Separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, all these things, we're more than conquerors. Conquerors, come to this. Conquering. Well, it's really praying your way along. Wrestling in looking unto Jesus and looking and looking and looking. When the heart is often faint. When you're tempted, you cry mercy. Or when you're in such heavy trial. You have to keep praying for mercy. You see. Now this is, my friends, the way of exercising conquering. In this aspect only. Christ. Christ. It's not looking to an arm of flesh. Planning what you're going to do next. Or plenty of earthly schemes, my friends, or they'll all go wrong. It's waiting upon God. I think I quoted in prayer from Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God, wherever you may be tonight. Only upon him. In full confessions and acknowledgements of weakness and failing and frailty. Yet a pleading, the grace, the love, the mercy, the promised help. Pleading the word of God. And for the work of God in your heart. Ah, my friends. Yes, holding fast. If we really believe by the Holy Ghost, you know, the effect of that would have been able to you to hold fast. If it's a faith that's a God-wrought faith. You see, you have a saving knowledge. And you cannot give it up. You hold fast to his mercy, his merit, his great love. Ah, oh, my friends, more than conquerors. He says more than conquerors. Well, men conquer kingdom, and kingdoms conquer kingdom, don't they? And you know it's done by natural warfare and natural powers. Ah, this is not natural. My friends, the weapons of our warfare are spiritual, not carnal, says the apostle, but spiritual and mighty toward God, fighting the fight of faith. And sometimes under trial it's hard work, isn't it? But you have to do it. You say like Peter, to us, can we go, Lord? Who can I come to but thee? Ah, Esther. And of course she was going before a pagan monarch. Powerful man, but he's only a man. He was a blade of grass, really, though he didn't know it, poor man. But you see, she was depending on the God of her fathers. Her God, and Mordecai's God. Yes, the God of the children of Israel. She was depending on him. If I perish, I perish. I must go in. And sometimes it looked so dangerous to continue. Turn back. This way, that way. No, friends, in the greatest trial, seek that precious Christ and call upon that all-prevailing name. And you may reverently argue with God. We don't hear much about arguing with God, do we? Not being critical, but it just perhaps doesn't come into the ministry perhaps today. But I remember Mr. Popham in his sermon, sometimes used to speak of that. I've often heard so many read that we may fill our mouth with arguments. Mr. Frank used to say it such a lot too, and then his brother too, J.H. Gostin. You may fill your mouth with arguments, reverent arguments. Lord, thy word says, I plead it because I need it. Have mercy on me. Lord, thy name. We're humbled and weakened to ask in his name. But in asking his name, friends, you know something. Lord, thou hast said anything in my name. And you must bring his name. Must plead his name. More than conquerors, conquerors. To that name of God. Jesus, the Son of God. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the name of God, you know. And particularly, he's given his own dear Son with a glorious name, Jesus Saviour, Christ Anointed of God. The Anointed One, the Son of the Blessed, the Son of the Highest. You may plead that name if you shall ask. Don't ask for vain things, friends. Always in accordance with the good will, providence and grace. With good will, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, forgiveness, Lord. Pardon, peace, restoration, mercy, sparing, helping, relieving, deliverances. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. He'll be glorified in all this. He really will. He'll glorify his own name. And your glorifier's name too. That's how he gets glory to himself by the rotten, helpless, ruined worm of the earth, yet a worm Jacob loved. He'll give God the glory, crown the Lord, Lord of all. And my friends, he's glorified. And he gets it to himself by his work of grace in your heart. More than conquerors. You think of the powers you wrestle with. Oh, my friends, not natural powers. Yes, but spiritual wickedness in high places, not flesh and blood. The ordinary man of the street, in the earthly king, though there are earthly powers, but they're only limited. My friends, you wrestle against, yes, the darkness of this world, the prince of this world, we wrestle against it. Satan's a more powerful foe than any earthly man. He can master you and I very quickly. if we're not preserved in Jesus and kept or delivered from his power. You see, more than conquerors. Oh, what a mercy to endure. The promise in the churches, the revelation is, the seven churches, the promise was to him that overcometh. How can we overcome? Well, we have a sweet key in Revelation concerning the church overcoming the devil, the dragon. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The bleeding Christ is all they plead for the guilty sinner's need. All were sinners in God's sight till the blood of Jesus washed their robes and made them white. Now they sing his praises. Say very carefully and tenderly, to plead the blood of Christ is a very sacred and wonderful thing. I do give a caution, never plead that precious blood in a light or presumptuous way. But you may plead it, filthy sinner, reverently, weeping, confessing, calling upon him, waiting upon him, as the chief of sinners, grace making you honest. You may plead that holy blood that was shed at Calvary. Take a place in Maidstone years ago when I ventured to plead it one day, feeling so dreadful. And Satan said, you can't do that. You're so wicked, you'll pollute it. It made me tremble. I stopped pleading. I couldn't do it. I was frightened I'd pollute that precious blood. Yes, but you see, then the Lord came. A poor man, confessing honestly, can't pollute that blood. It cleanses him. It was shed for him. This is a great provision of God. God so loved the world he gave to the begotten Son, that whosoever, the vilest sent out of hell, just to fill his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead, more than conquerors him that loved us. Loved us. What a vast subject, 20 parts, I've not left any time. Yes, through him that loved, through him, his work in your heart, giving you a saving knowledge of him, to value him and live upon him, and cast the care of your soul upon him. Through him that loved us, 'twas an everlasting love, God did his own elect embrace. Oh, my friends, love cannot from its post withdraw, nor death, nor hell, nor sin, nor law can turn the shortest heart away. Love is unto endless day. Loved us. Oh, friends, taking your sins, taking my sins. What a load. Can't think of the hymn number now. One of the poets says something like this about what must a load be when only mine so great. It's beyond understanding. A little while ago in the night watches, feeling so worried about myself and dreadful before God, the Lord seemed to draw near and grow a little sweet hope in him. And I tried to think in my heart and pray, Lord, do show me something of the cost, what it really meant. I found my mind lost and wondered at it. I can't know it. Not in the penetrating eye of it. I can't. It's beyond our understanding. But you believe it. And when the Lord softens your heart, the efficacy flows into it. There's a secret here. Blessed things were done at Calvary and Gethsemane. You know, blessed things were done there. Things that you and I cannot fully comprehend. You can't see it with a natural eye or understanding. If you by faith have to confess and plead and wait, but he makes a very precious, very real to you. You weep and you wonder. It wasn't so long ago, back in June, feeling very anxious. Well, about 4 o'clock in the morning, waking up the beautiful June morning, really, and praying and seeking, confessing to the Lord, you know, believe, well, I mustn't be, must be careful I speak here. I shouldn't speak too personally in public, should I? But there is Emmanuel on the throne. It's a little view by faith and the waters, living waters, rivers, that flow down, love, mercy, peace, grace, forgiveness, strength, consolation. It's everlasting to one's own poor soul. But I've studied saying, and I shouldn't really tell you those things, should I? I'm sorry. They're personal, private matters. But you know, my friends, that river, has a stream touched your soul? It's a one day an ocean you can't cross. You're swimming in it, a glory. You're swimming loving glory. And crowning Lord of all, you'll see him face to face. Yes, him that loved us, but look at the cost. Being made sin. Crowned his soul unto death. All the desertion. If there's anything a child of God really would dread, it's desertion. And the psalmist knew little of it, and we know little of it from time to time. Oh, you feel so dreadful, cut off. Lord, mercy, mercy. Desertion. Hide not thyself from me, O Lord, said the psalmist. He knew something of it. Jeremiah, Christ said, he shutteth out my prayer. Yeah, there's always some little hope given to you in that desertion. Jesus, my soul, my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We don't know the full secrets of this, but it's as though God looked away from him. He trod the winepress alone. We know it must be that in his deity, being co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Ghost, obviously there was no separation in Godhead. But the holy sufferer, Jesus, desertion. He delighted to do God's will. He loved God for you, fully and completely deserted, forsaken. Mystery. Why? Well, the only thing I can ponder really, or what comes to me about it, is this. In trying to pray over these things, you see, God can't look upon sin. He must frown when he put your life, the life of our sinnership, on his. He looked away. No favours. Must be punished. That we might be freed in love and grace. Oh, what a gospel. What a God I've got to close. Don't like closing hastily on these points. Yes. Oh, the mystery of that great love. He loved his dear people. Friends, he drank the cup dry. He drank that awful cup dry. No wrath to the poor confessing sinner, the knocking believer, the thirsty, the poor, the needy. Simple prayers, Lord. You may begin like this with, give me a real religion. Maybe sitting in chapel one day. Lord, I'm not real. It comes an exercise. Oh, make me real. Make me real, Lord. Maybe you feel certain besetments in sinnership you may have, perhaps in your youth or childhood or something. Oh, how you want peace given to you about those things. And not those things, but everything in the end in your life. You want a complete covering, everlasting love, but I must hasten, I've got to stop really. Yes, nay, in all these sorrows, with death upon the road, we are more than conquerors. I haven't put this over properly tonight. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. Why? Christ is with you. The sword of the Spirit, my friends. Yes. The breastplate of righteousness, my friends. Yes. Being fully sure with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The whole armour of God. Yes, the breastplate. There's no armour for the back, as Bunyan aptly describes that concerning Christian armour for the back, because you can't turn back. If you turn back, you're done. It's all over if you turn back. But you don't turn back. It's hard to continue, friend, isn't it? Yes, but press on in Jesus' might, says John Berridge. I must close. All the sorrows and the distress of this life here, the apostle declares that nothing can separate. Did Jesus once upon thee shine, then Jesus were ever thine. And Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, loved them unto the end, an everlasting love. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Everlasting love. And my friends, one day, you know a little of that everlasting love. You'll sing the everlasting song. Worthy is the Lamb. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Do bless thy own word of grace, Lord. Please pardon all things spoken wrongly in thy sight. But bless those things of the Spirit of truth. And may a few things remain with us, Lord. Ah, may we each be given such grace. May overcome at last and see thee face to face. We plead it for thy name's sake, Lord. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rutt next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 536. 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Hymn 536.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.